This is the most critical MP3 you're ever going to listen to. It's a short segment on demoralization, or active measures, Aktivnaya Mera Pranacha, in the language of the KGB and the modern FSB. It is about brainwashing. But one thing I want to make clear, if you're listening to this, and I don't care if you're an environmentalist or where you're at, or even what family of humanity you're from. If you're European, that's fine. If you're an African, that's fine. These are concepts and topics everyone needs to know about. But what you need to understand is the system in Western civilization, specifically Anglosphere, is geared around ethnic conflict. It's geared to perpetuate it. It's geared to aggravate it. It's geared to withstand it. If you're advocating any type of violent activity, it is also geared to take you out. America has the illusion of free speech, and if you listen to any of the MP3s for Follow the White Rabbits, I'm going to allude to that. But in reality, it doesn't, because if you advocate something, you better make sure you're alone in your bedroom or something, because the system is geared to take you out. It has the illusion of you being able to say whatever you want. You know, maybe you're an African out in Hollywood and you say something about gay people, you're going to lose your job. So everything's indirect, and that's why it's kind of slippery for people. But if you're advocating killing judges, even if you're alluding to it, you know, growing up in a violent urban area, I've seen Africans basically spray guns at everything, and usually hit anything but what they're shooting at. And they always used to say, you know, whites are an object of our oppression. Well, no. You know, what would happen is a judge would haul them in, and they'd go in jail for a couple years, and maybe they were set up. But then they'd be upset at that white judge, and they go shooting out at someone white. It happens all the time. That's an ethnic conflict model. It happens to every group on this planet. And that's how it's perpetuated. But he didn't shoot at the judge, did he? No. He shot at me in this case. Now, if he would have shot at the judge, would that be a revolutionary act? Well, if it causes a revolutionary. But the system's designed to withstand that. The system's designed to withstand that. Right now, Mr. Turner, Hal Turner is kind of famous for saying all kinds of things. I'm not an expert on him, but he's in jail for saying something. Well, obviously, that's not free speech. You know, apparently, they got him advocating violence or whatever. Maybe he was set up. I don't know. I'm not an expert on Mr. Turner. But if you're advocating any type of violence at all, they're going to take you out. That's how it's designed. The walls of Jericho are designed to withstand bombs. Yeah, they can withstand Timothy McVeigh. We know they can withstand Timothy McVeigh blowing up buildings because they have. They can withstand a World Trade Center. We know they can withstand a World Trade Center coming down because they have. Right? That's just what you see is what you get. That's common sense. They can withstand all kinds of violent threats because they have. Sure they have. Well, you're not in a wild, wild west system. You're in a system where to operate, you know, you have to learn practical politics, non-voting politics. And in this case, the art of staying on message. Most men want to jump up and fight something. This type of system is designed to take you out, one way, shape, manner, or form. Because the odds of you causing a revolution are nil. They're nil. They're nil. Because at revolution, there's not one close society I've ever seen or operated in or anything else that has ever been taken down through violence. Yeah, the Berlin Wall wasn't taken down through violence. You know, Yugoslavia happens way after the fact. It doesn't happen before. No, the Soviet Union wasn't taken down through violence. A close society based on someone owning the truth, whether it regards to economics, in this case, a lot of different things, right? But their big weak spot is the common sense of oppression among Europeans. You know, you have a system that says diversity is strength, but at the same time, they have to force it by gunpoint, because if they'd known, all the Europeans are going to move and they won't have any power. So it's kind of funny. But if you're advocating violence in any way, shape, manner, or form, they're going to take you out. So don't. The only way to bring down the walls of Jericho is with a golden horn. You have that. And I don't care if you're an African. If you're an African listening to this and you want to bring down a system, well, you have to play practical politics. In any closed society on this planet, and many other societies, pseudo-closed societies, if you advocate violence, if you run around shooting a gun, you're most likely not going to cause a revolution. They're going to have you in jail. Yeah, I mean, this isn't Wild Wild West. In a Wild Wild West, you can run around shooting at people, and that's the game, and if you don't have your six shooter, you better not be playing. If the game is practical politics or non-voting politics, well, then you better learn that game. right now in America, right now in greater Anglosphere and Western civilization, and many other places in the world, even in China, the game is not Wild Wild West. You're not going to advocate violence against the system. You're not going to run around shooting people and get anything done, because that's not the game. You know, if you're trying to play, if you're playing baseball, but yet you're in a basketball mindset, you're not going to be successful. That's just common sense. That's what I'm here to educate you on. But if you're advocating violence, you're not in a Wild Wild West. If you want to shoot at people, join the army. That's the only place you need to do, or go to the shooting range. Advocating that is not productive. It's not productive. Someday your number may be called. You know, you can join the military and go shoot people right now, but that's not the game. Nowhere on the planet are you going to get away with running around shooting people. That's not the game. They don't point bullets at people. They weave velvet around their necks. Saddam Hussein was not taken out by a sniper. He was taken out by someone grabbing him out of a rabbit hole, putting him into a tribunal and hanging him by a velvet rope. That's how things are done now. Yeah, you want to skin a rabbit? You can't do that. You can't deal any steel. You got to hang them. You got to hang them in tribunals. That's how that works. You got to put them in jail. It doesn't work how you think it works. And nowhere on the planet is that going to work. If they would have shot Saddam Hussein, they can't work like that. They put him through a tribunal and they hung him. Now, once you get someone in tribunal, it's over with, right? Yeah, they can hang him. You can hang people in tribunals all day, but you got to learn the game in front of you. You can't be trying to play baseball under basketball rules. You're not going to be successful, and you're going to get thrown out of the game. Advocating violence is a waste of time, because you're not in the Wild Wild West. If you're in the Wild Wild West, you can hang the signs wanted dead or alive. But if you're not in the Wild Wild West, well, you can't be doing that. You're just going to make yourself a target. So let's not make ourselves a target. If we're going to open up our mouths, we're going to make an exercise in power and practical politics. Bringing down a closed society is very easy. It's very simple. If it's time for it to happen, but it always happens through sound. It always happens through harmonics. It always happens through a consistent message. Sure. It always happens that way. You can't point to any time where it hasn't happened that way. That may came some Yugoslavia event. Yugoslavia getting broken up happens way after. It doesn't happen before. That's just generally how this stuff works. But you have to be on a consistent message. That's what we're here for. Here to teach you a little bit about practical politics. But advocating violence is a waste of time. Advocating basketball when everyone's playing baseball is pretty stupid. It's not time for that. Wait out your turn, join the army, or go to the shooting range. It's that simple. Sorry, it's that simple. Now, I guess you could say, you know, you could pull another, try to pull a Timothy McVeigh and have a big act blow up a building. That's just going to be a terrorist act, and that's just going to reinforce a system. The system's designed to withstand that. We know the system's designed to withstand that because I know a lot about this type of system. And if it wasn't designed to withstand that, it wouldn't have withstood that, right? The system's designed to withstand a lot of threats. Because there's always a lot of threats, and it's designed, it's perpetuated on fear. So you can't play it under traditional rules. You got to know the rules of baseball, and the rules of baseball start with practical politics, non-voting politics. Now, there's nothing you can't do with a gun to Saddam that they didn't do in a tribunal. In fact, the tribunals were more humiliating, sure. But anyways, this is an introduction to one of the most critical MP3s anyone's going to listen to. It's about active measures. It's about brainwash, practical politics. You see, after 15 years, any young person on the planet, if you let me control the school system for 15 years, I don't have to destroy the country. They'll do it for me. And this is going to be an education on what's been done to you and what's been done in many countries around the world. I'm going to give you a brief introduction to a topic that is critical for you to understand. It's a process you've been under your whole entire life, but very few of you know it. The actual word for it is demoralization, or aktivnaya mera, in the language of the old KGB, or basic active measures, psychological operation, psychological warfare. It's an ancient technique, actually, a four-step process of taking down a society, and it was basically institutionalized and made into like a science in the Soviet Union when the Soviet Union got going and started spreading communism. And it's a great, great brainwashing technique, and it happens in four stages. But the first is most critical. It's demoralization or active measures. Again, activnia mirpranacha is how it's actually pronounced, and they still use that word, though that phrase in the FSB, the modern KGB. It was estimated that about 85% of the KGB was not based on James Bond type stuff. They weren't running around the world spying on people. No, they were engaged in active measures. It's estimated that our CIA and many of our different organizations that will remain nameless, alphabet agencies, are similar in that regard. Most of you maybe are getting to understand that. But that's one of the reasons that Bob Whitaker was hired by the CIA. He was hired to do talking points in a close society that was coming down, that type of thing. But that is all active measures of various different types. But the first step is demoralization. It's a great brainwashing technique. And the principle is to change reality to such an extent that despite of an abundance of true information, no one can come to sensible conclusions to come to the defense of themselves, their family, their loved ones, their nations, their race, etc. And it is, again, it is a dramatic brainwashing technique, and it takes 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation or a group, because that's how long it takes to educate your enemy in the ideology that you want to educate them in. It takes that long to get the textbooks out and to get one generation under those textbooks. You get the ideal, but it takes 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation or an organization. And there's many different ways you can look at that. The second step is destabilization. It takes 2 to 5 years to destabilize a country. There are three components of destabilization when it comes to a country: economy, foreign relations, and defense. The third step, and is most critical, is crisis. It only takes 6 months to bring a country or a nation into crisis. And then once a country's into crisis, you go into normalization. Normalization is a cynical Soviet expression that comes from when Brezhnev took over Czechoslovakia. He said, brotherly Czechoslovakia is now under normalization, or now going through the process of normalization. You get it. It's a cynical expression, and it can last indefinitely. But that is a critical process for you to understand, and the most critical is demoralization. Again, 15 to 20 years to demoralize, to brainwash a nation. And this is what you've been going through your whole entire life. This process was overdone in the United States. It was overdone in the late 80s. Yes, the crash of 87 was probably one of the last clear shots your enemy had to take down this country and totally get everything it wanted at the same time. In the late 60s, your enemy was at its strongest point when it controlled elements of the Soviet Union, elements of America, and it's the center of the earth, which is Israel. As well as, when I say America, I'm talking about greater Anglosphere too, because London's a big part of that. But that is demoralization. And this process is well overdone in America. It was overdone in the late 80s. By 1998, something critical had occurred. You had the Asian collapse, and there was another opportunity, but they didn't have Russia anymore. They had lost the Soviet Union. Mr. Putin was in power. In 1995, you had another process that came up, a process that was very dynamic. I use 1995, that's kind of when AOL started accelerating. But in reality, the BBS boards, the old bulletin boards, most of you old white nationalists, the old-timers, racialists, they call themselves, you know, the resist.com type guys, the revolutionaries. Those BBSs were around long before even AOL and stuff like that. We own the net. We own everything online. But that process, a new process of communication, totally halts demoralization. Demoralization comes to a complete halt anytime a new technology is introduced. It starts to neutralize it. What's the joke? What's black and white and totally over? Newspapers. The internet did that. It totally neutralized our enemy, whether they liked it or not. And we have owned the net. Organizations like Stormfront, VDare, even the mundane ones like Amarin, the hardcore revolutionary ones that talk about real dealing steel or blowing things up, they get unreal hits. If they were any type of established organization that the government would support in any way, shape, manner, or form outwardly, they would probably be sponsored by groups like Coca-Cola. Why? Because they get that many hits. Stormfront could easily,
easily make millions and millions of dollars a month off its web traffic if people would have the guts to advertise on them, but that isn't happening yet, obviously for certain reasons. But you get the idea. The British National Party, which is, you can look at them either way, but I'm just talking about the web traffic, is outrageous. It's the highest web traffic of any political party in the UK. Different organizations in Germany have unreal web traffic, even though they don't say anything too dicey because it's against the law there. But you get the ideal. Time and time again, if you just look at Stormfront and the web traffic, it is outrageous. But how long has the internet been out? Well, the internet's, you're roughly around at 14, 13, 15, depending on how you look at it, let's just say even 15 years, somewhere in that area. We're coming into D-Day. Newspapers are totally over. Everything's been neutralized. Stormfront is in the top so many thousands of websites, and it stays there. Many of you are seeing blogs like, even like Hal Turner. Hal Turner, Mr. Turner's blog, he's putting out information from a variety of different sources on the economy. It's very well read. It's quoted in financial newspapers. Whether they like it or not, they have to quote it because it has that type of hits. But that's the type of things you're seeing. But it's very critical to understand how important this has played in neutralizing the process of demoralization. It went into overdone in the late 80s and then got put into a complete halt, and they haven't really known what to do since then. They've been treading water trying to get their deal done. But that is very important for you to understand. And there's many different ways to look at this four-step process. For instance, the Republican Party. The neocons took down the Republican Party using this very same technique on a micro scale. They targeted the Republican Party. They targeted the Republican Party because they were losing the Democrats. Your enemy doesn't have the type of control you think it has. They've been losing it since the late 60s. Yes. They've been losing it in a lot of ways. Anytime your enemy becomes visual, they start losing things. It is by nature. If you're a creature of the dark and you're exposed to the light, you're in trouble. There's an old saying, fortunes like mushrooms grow best in the dark. That's an old Rothschild saying. If people know how much money you have, you're probably going to be in trouble in a certain economic environment. There's always a certain economic environment around the corner. But the neocons targeted the Republican Party. They demoralized it. They took over the publications, didn't they? Over a 15 to 20 year period, they did all this. They started doing it late 60s. They started doing the 70s by Ronald Reagan. They had their foot in the door. It's a slow, gradual process. Then they went into stabilization. They knocked out a few leaders. They targeted a few leaders as racist or anti-Semitic, so on, so forth, etc. Then they brought crisis to certain organizations, and then they took them over. And right, and they've been in a process of normalization since probably the early 90s, sometime after the Bush administration, the first Bush administration during Clinton's. They started consolidating, getting ready for what was to come. But that, and it's very dynamic. You can look at it in a variety of different areas. You can do this to organizations on a mini scale. It's done all the time. It's done to corporations, so on, so forth, etc. But it is a very necessary thing for you to understand because you've been under it. In the Eastern Bloc, when the Eastern Bloc was coming apart, the Soros Foundation, George Soros, was using copying machines. Copying machines were a new technology. He was buying copying machines and putting them in there, and his organization was allowing different people to submit different ideals, to photocopy ideals, and to transfer them around. Kind of like a micro internet. It worked very well. It helped him gain power there. He's not our friend. We don't like him. I'm sure you know that. We have some differences with Mr. Soros. I'm just giving you an idea of how dynamic this understanding this can be. There's also another process ongoing, and mentioning Mr. Soros, right now in the United States and in greater Anglosphere, Anglo banking is in a crisis. Anglo banking was knocked into a crisis by the collapse of Lehman Brothers. We know this because it's obvious. We had a big take under from Morgan Stanley on Bear Stearns, not a takeover, a take under. They took them under for a dollar. Yeah, they crushed Bear Stearns and took them under for a dollar, and it was shell shock. The next shell shock happened at Lehman Brothers. Lehman Brothers was allowed to go under by someone at the Treasury. Never has a bank of that size been allowed to go under in the history of the world. It doesn't make press, but yet it does. Every single interview Mr. Soros has given since then, he talks over and over again about the systematic collapse of Anglo banking started with Lehman Brothers, and that was they shouldn't have allowed that to happen. He says it like he's shell-shocked. Shell shock what happens is what happens when someone goes into crisis and they don't realize they've been put into crisis. A lot of times they don't realize it right away. It takes a little bit to sink in. But every single interview, if you look up, Mr. Soros has given since the collapse of Lehman Brothers, he said it over and over again. Well, someone's telling you something. You're in crisis. And that's the end of the discussion on active measures, and I'm going to go into some other stuff, some antidotes, so on and so forth, but I just want you to have that down.